Hello. I'm Jeremy Gibbs. This paper is also co-authored by Dr. Jeremy Goldbach, who is at the University of Southern California. And I will be talking with you today about understanding the relationship between religious identity conflict and suicide in sexual minority youth. I have no relationships to disclose. So sexual minority youth have higher rates of mental distress. That's been found throughout the literature. They have higher rates of abuse, victimization, bullying, mental illness, suicidal ideation, and self-harm compared to their heterosexual peers. And in fact, some studies suggest that sexual minority youth are five times more likely to experience suicidal ideation and five times more likely to experience suicide attempt. This is actually, I think this is my, I changed this, but that's okay. If you're interested, I have my other presentation actually has the references within it. Sorry about that. So minority stress theory says that sexual minority youth experience unique stressors related to their sexual identity that are associated with negative mental health outcomes. These stressors include discrimination, victimization, homonegativity, internalized discomfort with their sexuality, and emotional stress related to acceptance. And numerous studies have connected these stressors to suicide amongst this population. So what we are interested in looking at here is how religiosity and religious conflict impacts suicide in this population. And generally, religiosity has been found to have a protective factor against negative mental health outcomes, and specifically suicide. However, there's a strong association between homonegativity and religiosity amongst general populations of people. So in light of this, there's been research that has investigated the relative impact of religiosity and religious affiliation on mental health outcomes in sexual minorities. And the findings are actually pretty much insignificant. Or they're conflicted. Some measures show that there could be a minimal protective factor, and other measures show that there actually could be more risk associated with religious identification. Because of this, some researchers have begun to look at qualitative research that has looked at this idea of describing this conflict that individuals experience when they grow up in religious communities and are a sexual minority. And there's actually a large amount of this research currently. They found that it's several studies have found that there is a relation between identity conflict and depression as well as with suicide. The idea is that individuals internalize the stress experience and start to experience identity conflict from that. And so what these studies have suggested is that there is an association with suicide, and also there's a role of internalized homophobia here. Unfortunately, though, there is a lack of quantitative literature that really has analyzed these relationships. Therefore, we aim to determine if religious and sexual orientation identity conflict are associated with suicide. Further, our second aim is to investigate if internalized homophobia mediates this relationship. Our third aim is to determine if religious upbringing is associated with suicide. So the data we used, it was a secondary data analysis. OutProud was an organization. It's no longer active, but it was there was an internet survey that was collected in 2000. It's a very large data set of sexual minority youth. We specifically, for the secondary data analysis, focused on youth ages 18 to 24, which had about a mean age of about 20. And there was almost 3,000 participants based on that subsample. So the measurement that we used, we looked at demographics, which included age, gender, race, sexual orientation, current religion, and previous religion of their upbringing religion. And then we looked at an internalized homophobia total, which was actually made up of three dichotomous variables, measuring one, discomfort with being a sexual minority, two, whether you had a desire to be a sexual minority, and three, whether you had a willingness to change your sexual minority status or sexual orientation. And then we actually looked at three indicators of religious identity conflict. You know, it's difficult to address identity conflict, and so unfortunately you have to use indicators a lot of times. And so for our study, that's what we focused on. We used a self-report where individuals indicated if they had conflict between their religious beliefs and sexual orientation or gender identity. And then our second indicator was looking at parental anti-homosexual religious beliefs. And then our third indicator, which is not listed on this slide, was looking at if the individual left their religion of origin due to the conflict. Lastly, the mental health outcomes that we looked at, the suicide outcomes, were a suicide attempt in the last year and suicidal ideation in the last year. So our sample was mainly white. You can see here the yellow is a little obscured, but mainly white, mainly male, about 75% male. We had very few transgender participants. Sexual orientation was pretty much homosexual or bisexual. And then current religious affiliation was for the most part Christian or non-religious. So for our analysis, what we looked at, first we did some descriptive analysis, which I'll be getting to in the next slide. And then in order to test for mediation, we first did bivariate regressions using logistic regressions for the suicide outcomes, since they were dichotomous, and then using linear regressions for the internalized homophobia variable. Then we actually tested for mediation using Barron and Kenny in addition to McKinnon and Dwyer, which specifies the procedures used for logistic regression mediation. So as you see here, about 80% of the sample identified as religious. And of them, we broke the sample up into four different categories. Individuals who had a non-religious upbringing, individuals who had a religious upbringing and experienced no conflict, those who had a religious upbringing and experienced conflict yet resolved it, and those who were experiencing current conflict. And what we see here is that about almost 12% of the individuals in this sample reported that they're continuing to experience identity conflict. Then if we move to the next indicator, we see that of those who had a religious upbringing, almost 50% of them reported that their parents had anti-homosexual religious beliefs. And then the next indicator, we looked specifically at the individuals who reported that they had some form of religious conflict, whether it had been resolved or not, and about 42% of them had ended up leaving their religion. Further, we also looked the outcomes for suicidal ideation. We found that about a third of the sample actually experienced suicidal ideation, as well as suicide attempt in the last year was about 3%. So here are our bivariate results. You can see initially that all three indicators are related to internalized homophobia. They all have a positive relationship with internalized homophobia. We also see that that internalized homophobia has increases your odds of suicidal ideation, and that all three indicators also increase the odds of suicidal ideation, and that two of the indicators increase odds of suicide attempt. However, internalized homophobia and one of the other indicators are not associated with suicide attempt. And because of this, our mediation analysis only included suicidal ideation. So if you look at this mediation analysis, we see a few different things. One, we see that internalized homophobia does mediate all three of these indicators' relationships with suicidal ideation. However, for one of them, the first one, which actually is the self-report, we see that that it's full mediation, and the last two are partial mediations. So, as I said, there's a full mediation of the conflict self-report. When we look at the other two indicators, we see partial mediation. We did soluble tests for them. I want to specifically look at the leaving religion due to conflict variable, because I think this has a really interesting relationship. For one, leaving religion due to conflict is associated with a decrease in internalized homophobia, which has an indirect effect of lowering the odds of suicidal ideation. However, the direct effect of leaving your religion due to conflict has the effect of increasing your odds of suicidal ideation. So it's this interesting relationship. And in the end, we actually see that the total effect is the total effect actually increases the odds of suicidal ideation. So just getting into discussion. So there's definitely evidence of this association between religious identity conflict and suicide. Two of the indicators are associated with suicide attempt, and all three indicators are associated with suicidal ideation. Additionally, internalized homophobia ends up mediating all three of these. I want to point out, though, that religious upbringing is not associated with a higher odds of suicidal ideation or suicide attempt. It's interesting, though, because if the general literature points to religiosity and religious involvement as being a protective factor, what we find in our sample is that religiosity or religious upbringing has no impact on suicide. However, conflict, current religious conflict, is associated with a higher odds. So I was really fascinated by these outcomes associated with leaving religion due to conflict. I think as a clinician, as first a clinician before I'm a researcher, well, I guess I'm kind of both now, I think it's really interesting, this idea of leaving an individual leaving their religion due to conflict and the outcome that that has. I think that because we're using indicators in this study, one of the things we really need to consider is whether there are whether each of these indicators is made up of several constructs or only one individual one. And so what we were interested in getting at was the actual experience of conflict. However, I think one of the things that leaving religion is associated with is actually a loss of support system and issues with resolving a foundational belief system. And so I think those get involved in this situation. However, I would like to note that I think that a lot of individuals that work with sexual minorities, when working with them, there's this idea of promoting their sexual orientation or their gender identity. And I wonder whether promotion of an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity over their religious affiliation, how that impacts their mental health outcomes in their adult life for sexual minority youth. And so I think one of the questions that's arisen in this study are, what are the clinical implications of that? If we're telling individuals who are coming, if clinicians who are working with individuals are encouraging them to leave a social support system, specifically a religious community that has anti-homosexual beliefs and is discouraging to their sexual orientation or their gender identity, we may be inadvertently increasing their odds of suicide. So limitations for this data. This data is cross-sectional. I would love if it was longitudinal, however, it's not. I think there's also one of the things I mean, obviously need to report as a limitation is that this data was from 2000. And I think I get a lot of criticism about that. However, if you actually look at religiosity specifically within the United States, which we only use the United States sample, there's only really been a change in religious belief associated with homosexuality of about 11% in the United States. And it's still about 50%. 50 different reports, but at least 50% or more of the religious population, those that espouse religious beliefs in the United States, continue to see homosexuality and being queer as being sinful or wrong. And so this is still a pervasive issue, especially in different portions of our country, although it's difficult for me to necessarily convince people of that sometimes in liberal Southern California. Another limitation that I just want to point out is internalized homophobia was not scalar in this situation. So future research, just looking at operationalization of identity conflict and replication of the study using an internalized homophobia scale, as well as longitudinal study. So that is that. And once again, if you're interested in the references, I can email you that presentation. So thank you.
Thank you. Do we have one question for Jeremy? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and honestly, I would have loved to have done that. However, the sample was too small in order to do comparison analysis. But we are working on some research right now where we're specifically looking at how ethnic racial identity overlaps with religious identity and sexual orientation, and looking at those outcomes. So thank you for that.